Amen. We have been dealing with the necessity of spiritual understanding. And let me just once again back up and recap just a few minutes of what we're talking about. What is that we're talking about? What is spiritual understanding? We've found in our searching together, we've discovered that spiritual understanding comes to be centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. Why is it we must have spiritual understanding? It's because our union with Him is spirit. We were singing a song a while ago, and out of Ephesians 5, we were talking about we're a bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, His very own body are we, right? Well, that's, of course, totally wrong. You're not bone of His bone, and you're not flesh of His flesh. You are His body, but not the one you can see. So now how many of you think the Bible teaches that? Well, yeah, I get the verse for you. But I'll also tell you that this is an addition. The original verse does not say this. This has been added. It's in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. No, you just mark out of His flesh and of His bones. This comes right out of Genesis. It was so with Adam and Eve. With Adam and Eve, flesh of His flesh. This is now my flesh. This is now my bone. Adam said that of Eve. Well, sweetheart, that marriage died at the cross. That marriage died at the cross and the mystery of the church came forth.
Hallelujah.
That marriage produces humanity, not spiritual beings.
Right. Yes.
Now don't try to say what I'm not saying. I'm not telling husbands and wives to get divorced, that's stupid. I'm saying that whole concept of marriage, that's a concept of marriage, bone of bone, flesh of flesh. But that's the Adamic creation. That ended at the cross. That was brought to the cross that we might be freely married to another without being labeled as adulterers. In this marriage we have to Christ, there is no male, there is no female, bond or free, Jew or Greek.
Amen. Amen.
So you see, with Christ, we're not bone of bone and flesh of flesh. There's nothing about bone and flesh to this marriage. Many have this concept and they try to bring this into the resurrection, but that's a whole other story. We'll just leave it alone. Let me show you something here, though. 1 Corinthians 6. Paul is talking about the illegal use of your body or your bodies. In verse 16 he says, "What? Do you not know, you don't understand that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, saith he, shall be one flesh." But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Got anything to do with flesh? It's one spirit. Hallelujah. One spirit. Now, the only reason I said that is because we're talking about spiritual understanding. Why must we have spiritual understanding? Because we're spiritual beings. Because our union with Christ is spirit. And you can't figure that out from a natural concept. You can't figure the marriage that we have with Christ from a natural concept. It won't fit. It simply will not fit. And even when you have a husband and wife, if my wife was with me today and sitting right here, and we have a husband and wife, in reality, yes, in the flesh, there you are, husband and wife. But in the reality of Christ, she's a son of God, I'm a son of God. And our marriage is unto Him. By Spirit. Okay? By Spirit. It is a spiritual union.
Yes.
Does that make it any less true? No. No, it's much more true. It's the other that passes away. It's the other that disintegrates. It's the other that grows old. But that union which we have with Christ does not grow old. It never passes away, nor shall it ever pass away, because that union is with the Eternal One Himself. We are His body. And there is a little confusing factor to that, is that we have this whole treasure in earthen vessels. But Paul hastens to say, it is so that the excellency of this, the excellency of the power, be of God and not us. Yes, you have this in earthen vessels. I used to say very often, well, you see, folks, what that simply means is that the bodies we have should reasonably serve the body we are. Present your bodies. It's your reasonable service. Why? Because you are one body. I just thought about that while we were singing. The point is, though, our union is spiritual and therefore is encumbered upon us to have the understanding of the Spirit. If we are born of the Spirit, we must have the understanding of the Spirit. The Scriptures, Paul says in one place in the Scripture, if you live in the Spirit, then you should also walk in the Spirit. So we've been looking at what does it mean to walk in the Spirit and what is spiritual understanding, and we've eliminated most everything we thought it was. Eliminated most everything that it said to be.
Hallelujah.
And we're finding that spiritual understanding is just emphatically this. It is the understanding of the Spirit Himself working in us. Well, that understanding only works in the revealing of a person. Because all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the fullness of God is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He is that living Word. Therefore, for the Spirit to impart into us His understanding, exercise in us His understanding, He must do so in the revealing of the Son. Because you cannot separate the one from the other. It's not understanding about the Son, but the understanding of the Son working in our soul. The one is natural understanding, understanding about the Son, you and I understanding about the Son, that's natural understanding. The other is the understanding of the Son, of the Spirit of the Son, of Christ. Working in our soul, it transforms the soul because that understanding, that wisdom, that knowledge has with it a nature, a character. And it is the nature that is worked in us, the character that is worked in us, the substance that He is that is worked in us, because it says we are changed into that same image, the very substance of Christ worked in our soul. That's the true marriage, you see. That's the true union of which Paul speaks. Yes. And that is spiritual understanding. But most of us simply try to understand the things of the Spirit, and we call that spiritual understanding. But as I said so many times throughout these little sessions, anything we understand from that in that way is understood from the standpoint of our own biases and our own prejudices that are deeply built into our soul. Those biases, those prejudices, that spiritual understanding attacks and eliminates, transforms the soul. But natural understanding simply fortifies them because it's based upon it. What is it? Now, I can't just keep on this. I need to say something today. But what is it? Be it spiritual or anything else, but we're talking about spiritual. What spiritual thing is it that we approach to understand? We want to understand the things of the Spirit. That we do not approach from already implanted biases and prejudices. Yes. We bring those things up on our own ground. And we're going to figure it out according to the bias of my heart. According to the prejudice of my heart. And then we're going to argue with everybody that this is what the Bible says. Natural understanding, in my opinion, is the most dogmatic of understandings. And how disappointing it is when some of us who assume that we know so much come to find that we know so little. It's true. And it isn't that the Lord is simply trying to humiliate anybody. No. He's trying to renew the very spirit of our mind, our very souls, that we might have fellowship with Him. Darling, your comprehension of spiritual things has no fellowship connected with it. Does not bring you into fellowship with the Spirit. It is only when He is working in you His understanding that we have fellowship. Walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. And that's the only place that we do. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at spiritual understanding, and I've been looking at that in my own heart and the dealings of the Lord with me for some months now. And just continue to do so. But we have found, just for the sake of our search, our lessons, that it all comes to the person of Christ. Until we see Him, we know nothing as we should know. As we should know. Until we see Him. Not Him as a figure in flesh and blood. Not Him as a... Because He told Peter, flesh and blood has not taught you this. Not Him as a figure of religious imagination afar off from us. No. But see Him as He is in you. Because that's where He's revealed of the Spirit. In you. He is revealed in you because if you are born from above, that's where He is. In you. And that's where spiritual understanding. And it was just in my heart yesterday to emphasize personalness of this. That it's a very, I'll get it said in a minute, a very personal situation. Personal encounter. It's not you having an encounter with the Lord, it's me having an encounter with the Lord. And it's not me having an encounter with the Lord, but you having an encounter with the Lord. There's where spiritual understanding begins. And then we share with one another out from those encounters, out from that reality, out from that relationship. We're able to share one with another. See? Yes. And so that's where we have come to be. I just mentioned yesterday, and I told you that the monthly tape was on the same thing. Who do you say that I am? And we mentioned a little bit about that yesterday, and I'll just repeat part of that and then go into what I want to share with you today. With regard to spiritual understanding, most of us, most believers and believers who are having a desire to know Christ, to learn Christ, I came to a real awakening, or the Spirit brought me to a real awakening. And the dealings of the Lord with me, though they relate to the Lord's body in general, they relate most specifically to those with whom I have the closest relationship. So when I say most of us, I'm not talking about believers in China that I have no concept of, but rather those with whom I do have dealings. And as I said, in a general way to the church itself. But, well, look at Paul. He wrote letters to a church. Did he not speak to the church in that? Yes, he did. But his heart's burden was specifically toward these people in Ephesus, toward these people at Colossae, toward these people at Philippi, toward these people. I mean, he was thinking of them. He saw them in his mind, in his heart. When he wrote the letter to the Corinthians, he wrote concerning things he knew were in the Corinthian church. Situations, questions, conditions, circumstances, need for material, whatever. And yet, is that not found in all the church? Well, it is. It is. But he wrote there. Well, when I make statements, most of us, I see us. And that's what frightened me so much, because I know it about the church, but the Lord really awakened me. I think I was, most things happen while I'm driving. I believe I was on the way up to the research center. That's not really important, but it just hit me. And I stopped and found two or three gas receipts and made notes on them. And I was trying to, gladly took a smooth board, anything. And went on with it, because the Lord was really speaking in my heart. And I was trying to just capture the, you know, the shock effect, the thing that was I suppose you could say the emotional impact of it. Because I thought, oh God, is this really so? Could this be happening? Can this be possible? And I think so. And it's just this, it's on spiritual understanding, because that's where my mind has been. Most of us see that Christ is our life. I said this yesterday, but many of you weren't there. Most of us see that Christ is our life. We see that as a fact. It's fact. That. I'm emphasizing the word that. If you were reading this, I would want that in all capital letters. Most of us see that Christ is our life. We've been persuaded by a preponderance of Scripture. And I'll say, even by the moving of the Spirit. Certainly. Because it is true. It is true. It's a true thing. Most of us see that Christ is in us. We believe that. We preach that. It's possible to believe it, to preach it, to teach it, to sing it. We believe that Christ is in us. We believe that we are in Him. We believe that like other people believe other things. We believe it. I mean, we believe it to the point that there is no doubt in our understanding of that, in our mind. We believe that. It's possible that that kind of a belief can even bring with it certain commitment. I personally believe, however, that most of those commitments will be commitments of convenience. But commitment nonetheless. We believe that we are His body. We believe that. And because of that, we try to find ways to live like that. We believe that the church is His body. The question, however, is have we seen Him? Because you see, you cannot do that except the Spirit reveal Him in you. And I'm telling you that I'll not use percentages. It was frightening enough to me that it stopped me. It stunned me. I went to the barn and started repenting. I didn't even want to go inside the center. It stunned me. So I'm not going to throw percentages out to you. But oh God, folks, it hadn't even dawned on me it could happen. That with the preponderance of our teachings, because it's true. Sweetheart, it's true. It's the only gospel there is. Now if you just believe what the Scriptures say, you can read that much. There is no other gospel but Christ. There's no other gospel except that which God reveals in the very face of His Son. Showing Him to be. Yeah, so there's no other gospel. But you see, we come down on that. I come down on that. We declare that. We come at that from every way it can be approached, from every book of the Bible can be approached. And I'm realizing we've convinced a lot of people of that. Well, you say you convinced them of a true thing. Yes, that's true. You have. But being convinced of a thing that is true and believing a thing that is true does not transform your soul into the reality of that thing. It leaves you to try to make it work. It leaves you to try to figure it out. Yes, it does. It's much easier to just be left with, well, if I go to church and pay my tithes and do my thing, when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's a much easier thing to be left with, believing that, than actually being convinced Christ is in me and now trying to figure out how to make that work. That I'm in Him. And trying to fit husband, wife, kids, grandkids, job, this, that, into that. Because we try to do it. We do it, man. Here, we're going to try to do it. From that standpoint, we're going to try. Because we believe this. But it is true. But we set out to make it work. And it won't work that way. Because I can't make it work. Until He appears, I have no spiritual comprehension of the things that I believe. Until He appears, my soul is not transformed by what I believe. Until He appears, I am in control of what I believe. Until He appears. Now see, I'd love to be able to, for us to go on with this because there's certain things that happen when He appears. And we've touched on a few of those things. But I'm just emphasizing again that until He appears, none of the things that we believe, spiritual things, have substance to them until He who is their substance appears. And then I have understanding of those things because I see those things as they are in Him. You understand? He, the understanding of those things, comes. Those are no longer seen as things, but they are seen in a realization of Him. And a realization of Him. Until that, they are factual, and they are facts. And the point is, we have to come to embrace them as facts first. Yeah, you're never going to see Christ while you're fighting the very reality of Him, you know, in your own heart and mind. That's true. But my point is, the thing that shocked me is, have we allowed many to stop short? Have we emphasized the things that are true over and above the truth Himself? The truth Himself. Because He and He alone is the truth of all that is true. The substance of all that is spiritual. Or do we just take one or two of those things and then in our own mind debate it until we feel comfortable in our understanding of it? And that works until we try to make it work in every situation, and it doesn't. And then we feel badly about it, and we're down, and because we can't make it work. And so, you know, we just go around and around that kind of a circle. And that's the reason the Lord says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. What a joy it is. Well, we can't talk about that either. But what a joy that is. I mean, just, you know, all of a sudden. But to put it in Paul's words, not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Well, thank God. But you see, that realization only comes in His face. And He's just able to say, you know, I am. So we're looking at the question, whom do you say that I am? And with that, He turns our hearts to see Him so that He can begin to declare Himself as all that we've been trying to do and all that we've been trying to believe. He declares Himself as being that. As being that. He declares Himself as being that in nature, in character, in substance. And our very soul is transformed by that understanding. And it doesn't leave me trying to do, but it leaves me in the rest of what He Himself is. And I don't have to try to fit my wife, family, and kids into it. All I have to do is just share with them out of my heart the truth as it is in Christ. The truth as it is in Christ. And live in front of them the truth as it is in Christ. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of fitting anything in. Not a matter of fitting. It's a matter of just knowing Him. And allowing Him to be in me who He is. To the point that you and I began in our living to be expressions of who He is. of who He is. It isn't encumbered upon me to make anybody believe anything, but simply to know the truth and to express the truth in all things. What is that? That's spiritual understanding. Having the understanding of the Spirit in all things.